on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show, and a big show it is. Michael, Don, and Peter with you. It's April 19th. It's 2024. And it's time to get excited about Knicks, Rangers, Islanders. It's going to start rolling. It's going to be a big part of this show. Hope you're all doing well. Kind of an overcast day. We'll get through it, though, because the sun will shine at the Garden over the next 4 days. Even though there's a roof, it'll shine through that beautiful spoke ceiling. I was doing some work today, guys. I'm a little nervous about the Knicks series.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm still going to pick the Knicks, but do you realize that when Embiid plays this year, they have an .800 winning percentage?
Yeah, Michael, that's why. What it sounds like to me is that you're coming to old Peter and Donnie's logic that we had of preferring the Heat, because you don't know what this full strength Sixers team is going to be. And it sounds like, based on the stats, they're going to be a problem.
You know, I still would have rather have played the Sixers if Jimmy Butler was healthy. But we didn't know that when we were trying to make our prognostication. I think the Sixers don't scare me as much as the Heat, because the Heat have a winning pedigree and they have a great coach. Now, the Raptors have the Sixers have a great coach too. He won a championship with the Raptors, but I mean, how are they going to stop Embiid? And if they do stop Embiid and they decide to double him, is Maxey going to make them pay?
Right.
Is Harris going to make them pay? Can Batum have a big game like he had against the Heat? Are they going to make the Knicks pay if, in fact, Hartenstein can't stop Embiid on his own? And, you know, I keep saying the Knicks have three bigs, so they have 18 fouls to give. That's not necessarily the best thing in the world either, because the guy's an 88% free throw shooter. He's a beast. He really is.
Yeah.
I know he didn't play a lot of games this year, but he scored more points per game than anybody in the NBA, even more than Doncic. So it's not going to be an easy series. Let's not just give the Knicks an advance into the second round that easily.
Well, there's a couple of things at play for me. Number one, if you look at the history of Thibodeau teams, they've underachieved in the postseason. Now, the 1 year they could have won the championship, Rose got hurt in Chicago. But the knock on Thibodeau has always been, does he overwork his team in the regular season? And it shows in the postseason. So I guess that could be on the table. I love the fact that he works his team, and I think it is an advantage. But you just wonder, in a best-of-seven series, could this team possibly wear down? That's a check, I think, in Philadelphia's corner. But the check, I think, in the Knicks' corner is Embiid ever going to be 100%? And if not, a 70% Embiid is still a fabulous player, but is it enough with Maxey and what they have to be able to beat the Knicks in a best-of-seven series? I think the wear down of the Knicks might affect them down the road, but I think in this series, with the break that they had, you know, a full week off, I think that will be fine. And if Embiid's not going to be 100%, how could you not think the Knicks could find a way to win this series?
Even with him less than 100%, he was a factor in the fourth quarter, a big factor in the game against the Heat. So I don't think he's going to go away.
No.
Even at 80%, he's an extremely talented player. I think it's going to be a good series. I'm going to take the Knicks in six. I hope it doesn't go to seven. So the sixth game would be in Philly. The seventh game would be at the Garden. I think the Knicks could do it at Wells Fargo Center. But anybody who thinks this is going to be like an easy slide, it's not an easy slide. The Sixers are not your typical seven seed. They're just not.
See, that's
they're a really good team.
See, I'm glad you brought that up. And not that fans' reaction has anything to do with the series, you know, jinxing or anything like that. Quite frankly, as excited as Knicks fans should be, I'm a little surprised that people are just discarding Philadelphia and this is going to be an easy series. I don't see it being an easy series. I can see the Knicks winning the series, don't get me wrong, but you know, Dave Rothenberg's got the Knicks in five. I'm listening to the callers on Bart and Hahn and even in the morning show. It's like a fait accompli. Do we remember the last time the Knicks fans felt that way, Michael?
Well, and that was against the Hawks and against the Heat.
Exactly. Against both. I'm glad you brought the Hawks up, but that's a couple of years ago, and it's a different situation now. But last year, they're beating the Heat. Why wouldn't they beat the Heat? You know, and we always look at, the Heat just heating. That's what they do. But also, you got to be careful. You just can't look past anybody. This is a really good Philadelphia Sixers team that I think the Knicks can beat. But the idea that it's going to be easy, the idea that this is who you wanted, and it's just a fait accompli, you're getting to the second round, I don't see that at all.
Now, there's also something about this series that I think is an underlying sidebar, and that is Jalen Brunson. I don't think that Jalen Brunson is doubted anymore. He's going to be either second All-NBA. Maybe he'll squeak in the first. I think it's going to be second All-NBA, which is extraordinary. And I think he's going to be in the top five in the MVP. But Bart Scott has a line, you make your name during the regular season, and you make your fame during the postseason. Yep. So if the Knicks lose this series, all of a sudden, is the luster taken away or taken off of Jalen Brunson? Now, I still think he's an extraordinary player, but superstars do step up in these moments, and he has to carry this team because without Julius Randle, you're not sure who that second guy is going to be, who that Robin's going to be. Is it going to be DiVincenzo? Is he going to be hot? Is it going to be OG from the corner with those threes? Is it going to be Josh Hart? There are a lot of things they have to answer, but everything is going to fall on Jalen Brunson, and Jalen Brunson's going to be doubled. He's going to be hounded. He's going to be made to pay for every single point that he gets. And if the Knicks don't win this series, does it take some of the luster away from his season? And I hate to say it, this is a guy who averaged 28.7 points per game in 77 games. He's a great player, but I think some of the luster might be taken away if the Knicks lose. I don't think the Knicks will lose, and I think he's going to step up big. But if he doesn't, this is what they remember, because I'll give you a perfect example, everybody. Remember how great Julius was, and then Julius has had some bad postseasons, and now everybody doubts, is he the guy that could lead the Knicks? Well, I would love Julius Randle in the series. I would love a guy who's going to be 25-10 to be the guy that Jalen Brunson could play off of, but he's not here. So now it's all on Brunson. We saw how it dimmed everybody's thoughts about Julius Randle. I think the same could happen to Brunson if the Knicks come up short.
Well, why wouldn't it? I mean, that's silly. Who's going to remember the season if he has an awful first round?
Right.
It's a playoff sport. I mean, same thing with hockey. Artemi Panarin had an unbelievable season. 120 points, career high. 48 goals, career high. You think the Ranger fans will let him up if the Rangers lose in the first round and he gives you nothing? He'll get destroyed for it. It adds the pressure. Yeah, I'm sorry. You get judged in the postseason in these sports. You just do. Maybe baseball's different because you can't dominate. Maybe a pitcher, but like you can only do what you can do in baseball. But you have this phenomenal season, which everybody is asking for MVP and thinking you're just going to march through the playoffs. This won't be remembered at all unless he follows it up with a great postseason.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Sorry, this season won't be remembered at all for Jalen Brunson if he has a rough postseason? I don't agree.
I mean, I kind of lean toward Peter, too, because Aaron
this was
Judge
hasn't
performed
in
the
season.
Postseason. It doesn't take away from the greatness he's had during the seasons.
Yeah,
first of all, let's not forget, Jalen Brunson had a playoff with this team last season in which he was really let down by other players on this team. But Jalen Brunson in the first round averaged 24 points a game, 5 assists, and in the Eastern Conference semis, of course, they end up losing to Miami. He averaged 31-6-6. So, he already has a season under his belt where he did his job in the playoffs. Now he has a monster MVP-like, Herculean-type season in which major injuries to Julius Randle, you lose Mitchell Robinson, OG, who becomes the stud, is in and out. He's the consistent piece. He gets them the 2 seed and 50 wins. He would have to really poop the bed on an iconic level, Don, for them not to remember this season.
But I'm saying is, how do you remember the season?
Disappointing in the playoffs, sure. He didn't have a great year.
I think he had... whether he gets killed. Like, listen, Aaron Judge is a god with the Yankee fans, so they're going to let him up. I don't think they would let, they never let Alex Rodriguez up. Now, Brunson is beloved, like Judge is. So I don't think they're going to kill him or boo him, Peter. I don't think they're going to get on him like they got on Randall back in the day. But I think when you're a Knick fan and you're sitting back in July and August, are you going to remember, wow, Brunson was just so good and deserved the MVP? Or are you going to think about a season that could have been and he wasn't good? Now, I don't think that's going to be the case. You just outlined the numbers last year. I think he's going to be fabulous. I think Panarin's going to be great for the Rangers, too. But if they lose this series with the expectations being so high and he isn't good, I would think most fans would remember that rather than going back to a great season that resulted in what, Peter?
Well, I do think, though, that it could impact what the Knicks do during the offseason. Like, if he's, as Peter used the word, Herculean, and he leads them to a couple of rounds into the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe they look for a different sort of player to add during the offseason. But if he's somewhat closer to pedestrian, maybe they think, you know, we've got to get Batman and we could have him be Robin, and maybe they have to trade Julius Randle in order to get Batman. Again, I'm just talking out loud here. So if he's just superhuman, then they could change their view of what they need. But if they feel they need somebody great and a superstar, quote unquote, that could be off the fact that maybe, well, Jalen didn't have a great postseason.
And the thing is, to me, the hard question for this basketball team is, even Michael, if he does have that postseason, like he really is Hercules for this team and everyone's amazed, can you still just consistently expect that from a guy who's 6'1"? Can you expect him to 75 games a year be able to constantly stand up to that much work? Because, you know what I mean? It's like, how do I put this? Jalen Brunson is a superstar. But the way he plays, it takes 150% of him to get that superstar. You know what I'm saying? The with all due respect, Jason Tatum is not expending the same level of energy that Jalen Brunson is every single night. So I wonder whether you can bank on him to be that constantly, or they still feel like they have to get one of the more traditional superstars. I don't think they do. In fact, I've been saying this week, maybe Bridges is the piece that you add to this team. The way it seems, there seems to be this incredible vibe between the Villanova players, Michael.
Yeah, but
every
that's
player,
what never do.
You would agree. You mean just on principle because he's here?
They just wouldn't trade him to the Knicks, no.
Well, because, I mean, you think about it, Michael. Look at the Nova guys they have. Josh Hart, completely different player than he was previously. Brunson, a whole full level up. DiVincenzo, Michael, a whole full of. So the dream would be, I think, you add another one and it multiplies again. But I guess you're right. If the Nets are just unwilling to do it, which I don't know, I kind of feel is silly if you get picks from the Knicks, which you could.
Well, let me ask you this.
Don't they need to rebuild? Why are you worried about where he plays? You need to rebuild if you're the Nets.
And I hate to be this negative, you know, because we're talking about, like, what if they lose? We should be talking about, you know, them winning. But since we're on this subject, would they go out and get another player? Or would you have to now think about how they go about their business? Like, if Brunson struggled in this series, it probably would be because he's exhausted.
No, I don't buy that. Well, you keep bringing that up. They're not tired. They're used to this. They're built for this. Other teams aren't. I don't think he's. That's not. If he gets slowed down, Don, he's going to get slowed down because of, you know, the Sixers could throw Maxey and Lowry and Oubre and Melton and Batum at him. They could just throw, you know, waves of. I just don't think it's going to be because he's tired, Don. I just don't.
Well, I mean,
maybe
I,
in the third, maybe in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know.
But you can, Bob. I'm just saying that it's got to be on the table. I think he's too good to be completely shut down. So I think it's kind of a moot point. But this is a guy that's, you know, averaging 40 points a game. He's playing over 40 minutes. If all of a sudden he gets shut down, guys, we just can't tip our cap to Philadelphia. We got to look, you know, what's going on here. He has lugged a lot of minutes. He is the sole reason to me why they are a two seed with all the injuries. He's the guy that drove this team and made it happen. So it's got to be on the table. I don't think immediately because, again, they're going to have a full week off going into the series. And, again, I think it's a moot point. I think he's going to be fine.
But that's always been the knock on Thibodeau. And this is a sport where they do have load management, right? Guys taking days off because they even recognize that it's a long haul over 82 games. And once you get into the postseason, you don't want to wear yourself down. So it's obviously a thing. I love the fact that Knicks don't buy into it. But if they did get bounced early, would they fall in line with the rest of the league's philosophy? Double down on it?
One thing that's interesting, though, I don't like the narrative that you know, Thibodeau's never won. Thibodeau would have won a championship if Derrick Rose didn't blow out his knee. They were headed to winning a championship, and he didn't have enough talent in Minnesota. The guy's never had the most talented team and lost. He just hasn't been that guy. If he got out-coached and then he never had a team to win.
And by the way, he was a big part of Boston when they won their championship as well. He's got pedigree. I don't believe that. But I think the biggest thing that concerns me here is what you were saying earlier, Michael. The fans' approach, hearing that someone like Dave Rothenberg, he said five, he thought, for the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, guys, there's a world in which a couple of things break slightly differently. And the Sixers are the 2 seed, and the Knicks are the 7 seed, and it would have made complete sense.
Well, if Embiid was healthy the whole year, then they're not a 7 seed. They wouldn't have been in the play-in.
They're the two. They could have been the one.
They could have beaten the Celtics again. They win 80% of their games when the guy plays.
So I'm a little confused. To echo Don, I don't remotely want to be negative. I think this Knicks team could go on a run. But if you're thinking of this the way you thought of the first round with Cleveland last year, you're mistaken. You never know. This could be the biggest battle they have through the playoffs. We don't know. This is a really good Sixer team.
These are stats to take a look at. And this has nothing to do with fatigue because it happened throughout the season. Brunson for the year averaged 28.7 points per game. He shot 48% from the field and 40% from three-point. But against Philly, those numbers dropped to 22.3. 40% from the field, and 30% from three. Those things are not done in a vacuum. They throw different people at him with different skill sets, and they suffocate him, and Nick Nurse is going to figure stuff out. Nick Nurse is a real deal as the coach. He is. This is a better team with Nick Nurse as the head coach than it was with Doc Rivers. It just is.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited. Starts tomorrow, 6 o'clock at the Garden. It's going to be awesome, and I think home court advantage is going to be big for the Knicks. And I believe the Western Conference playoffs are going to be just off the chart, and the ones in the East, I'm not as thrilled about those, but I am thrilled about the Knicks and the Sixers because I have a rooting interest in that one. But the Western Conference has unbelievable series. Each and every one of them, you just don't know how they're going to play out. So I love it. And we still don't even know who the Celtics are going to play. We'll find that out tonight.
No, I think it's good. This is what I've been waiting for a long time in the NBA, where to be wide open. You know, how many times we talk about, oh, well, it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland. And now it feels like how deep you want to go that could win a title.
All right, so let's make our picks. I like the Knicks in six. Don?
It's hard to believe they'll be able to win seven in Philadelphia. It's so hard to win a game seven on the road. So if you like the Knicks, I think I would like them in six as well.
But game seven would be at the Garden.
Why am I? Right. I'm thinking about.
Don't worry. It's okay, Don.
I'm going to still stick in six.
Petey?
I think it's going to be tough, man. I'm going to go Knicks in seven. It's a war.
Wow. All right, now let's go to the Rangers, and we'll get into this series deeper. We have Henrik Lundqvist on at 4:45. We have Mike Breen on at 5, so
yay!
Great stuff there. Rangers, I'm going to pick the Rangers in five, Don.
Okay.
You?
I'm going to go with six just because that's kind of their MO, is to not dispose of teams as quickly as they should. And this has been a hot Washington team, and the Rangers have had a little bit of a problem winning in Washington as of late. So I still think, and they'll wrap it up in Washington in game six, but I still think it'll end up being six. I think they're just so much better. They match up well with them. Washington's entire regular season is basically the month of March. They were nowhere, Michael. They were done, and Ovechkin had 8 goals in the first 43 games. They had the worst power play on record. And then Ovechkin got hot in March, ended up finishing with 31 goals. But still, we're talking about a team that's a minus 37 goal differential. It's like the worst we've ever seen for a playoff team. So I just don't think they're as good. They stay away from the Tom Wilson antics and getting themselves in trouble. I think they'll be fine there. So I'll say the Rangers in six.
Peter?
I mean, what do I know? The Caps are one of the only teams I pay any attention to. And I know this year, this was not special. I mean, half of the season was about just will Ovi continue to stack his stats. So I haven't heard high expectations from Washington all year. This Rangers team appears to be the real deal. Well, give me the Rangers in five.
Now, also, Don, are we going to get a Wilson-Rempe brawl?
No, because Wilson's
not
really a fighter.
Come on.
I'm not, but I could
dirty.
See something
wouldn't
happen.
Wouldn't Rempe go up against him?
Well, I could see something happen because of something Wilson did.
Okay.
You know, but that's where you got to be careful. Listen, you got to protect your players. You can't let them run crazy. But at the same time, this is what kind of worries me just a little. If there's anything that worries me about this series in particular, because I think the Rangers are much better. I think they're going to win this series. And when I say six, I could see them being up 3-1. I really don't think you're going to be biting your nails at all. But Washington's got nothing to lose. All right, they came in here. They shouldn't even be in the playoffs. They took advantage of Philadelphia falling apart, and Pittsburgh dug themselves too big of a hole, and Detroit fell apart at times. And so somebody had to win the eight seed, and it just happened to be Washington, based off of what they did in the month of March. So they have no expectations. So they're going to go in there. They're expecting to lose, so they're going to be light. And I'm sure Wilson's going to try to get under their skin. Rempe's never played in the postseason before. I just don't want to have happen that would happen in New Jersey, where it ends up becoming a sideshow. That all plays in to the underdog, right? It all plays into,
we got
nothing to lose, so let's get him in trouble. Let's get him in penalty trouble. Let's get somebody suspended. Let's get somebody to do something stupid. What does it matter if Tom Wilson gets suspended? He got suspended during their run in March. Like, so they don't care. If they get swept, so what? They're in a rebuild. So don't get caught up in all that garbage. You're a better team. You're above it. So let Wilson be a jerk. Let him get himself in penalty trouble. You've got a tremendous power play, third best in the league. Kill him instead of getting caught up in those antics. I think it just plays into the underdog. And I think Laviolette is going to send that message to him, and it won't be an issue. But for the fans that are all hoping for this Wilson-Rempe brawl, dude, you're better. Score more goals, win the series, get out of Dodge, and focus on what most likely will be Carolina in the second round.
We can't give short shrift to the Islanders. Islanders-Carolina. I mean, the only reason you even consider the Islanders having a chance because how great they played down the stretch. Otherwise, I would say Carolina in five, but I'll give the Islanders one more game and say Carolina in six. Don?
Yeah, I got Carolina in five, and this is what I predicted on the podcast, which you can get, Game Misconduct, where you get your podcasts. I wouldn't be surprised if all five games are one goal and two of them go in overtime. But the problem is that when Carolina needs a goal, they'll get it because they've got better offensive players. Right. Teravainen, Aho, Svechnikov, they get great production from their blue line with Slavin and Pesci. They're a better offensive team, and they play a lot like the Islanders do, where they can kind of really shut you down. And I just think when they need a goal, they'll be more apt to get it. You know, you talk about the Islanders' run, and you got to respect it. Points in, eight straight to close out the season. But a month ago, they had a six-game winning streak, if you remember, and then handed it all back with a six-game losing streak. So they've been up and down all year. It's hard to believe you're going to win a series when you have the worst penalty kill in the league. These are little things that I think will hurt them.
And Carolina is the best.
Carolina is awesome, and up and down with everything that they do. So it's really just a bad matchup. I would have loved them against Boston. I would have loved them against anybody in the Eastern Conference and give them more of a fighting chance. This Carolina team is just a really tough matchup. So I say they'll be all great games, but similar to a couple of years ago, I think it's going to be over in five.
Now, Peter, I know that you've been doing the work on this. You've been poring over stats and watching film. Mm-hmm. What's your take on this one?
This is going to surprise some people, and I say this with no bias. This is not because the Islanders treat us great. Sweep, Islanders.
Wow, 4-0. In four.
Good night, good luck. That's right, in four. You don't see it every day, Don. You don't see it every day from a dog, but I like this Islanders team.
I love it. So hey,
I can be honest. That's what I'm rooting for. I want a Ranger-Islander second round. Believe me. I think that'd be great.
We'll take your phone calls. Obviously, the Knicks are the kicking off or tip-off point for us today.
And kicking off.
But first, Don's going to tell us about Mazda.
Yeah, let me tell you about Mazda, Michael.
Go ahead, Don. Do us a favor. Talk to us about Mazda.
Tell
us. You know,
do it. Come on. Don't be gutless.
Come on, Don.
Talk Mazda, for God's sake. Tell us who you are, too.
I'm going to tell you everything that you need to know.
Do it.
Today? Are you going to do it today?
Listen, I had a really...
Will you wait until they build a car?
I had a really difficult... I had a lot going on today, so...
Yeah, sure.
I didn't have the heads up. Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease the all-new 2024 Mazda CX-90 PHEV Preferred for just $299 a month at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R11570064. MSRP $51,320. Ends 4/30/24.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, everybody, it's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Yankees are back in the Bronx to face the Rays at 7:05, and the Mets are out in L.A. to take on the Dodgers at 10:10, and they're going to face Yamamoto. So I'm going to drive home after the Yankee game and go see that one.
So early for a West Coast swing, but I guess you get it over with, right? Get it out of the way. Try to keep your head above water.
And the Mets are playing great.
Well, listen, they're a couple of games above 500.
Yeah.
10-3 after the
0-5
start. And we were having some fun at your expense the other day, Michael.
Of course. You always do.
Oh, we sure were.
Well, listen, the Yankees ended up having the last laugh because they came back and won the game. But, you know, when you were hanging on the rim when we were down at the wrestling in Philadelphia, you know, the Mets are 10-3 since then. Since the Gary Cohen, this feels like rock bottom game, they're 10-3. Now the Yankees are 7-5.
And they'll start a 3-game set against the Rays tonight.
And more—that's more of a testament that that's just baseball, Susan. Right? It's just—it's so long. There's so much that goes on, and they're starting to hit now. And that's even before Martinez joins the team. And we'll see. If they come back from this West Coast swing still above 500, that is huge. The Giants aren't playing well anyway, so you see what get what you can get against the Dodgers. If they come back,
Dodgers haven't been playing great.
Yeah, they've been okay. So, and then you've got a West Coast swing that's out of the way in April, which is good.
Well, that is game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. I found this interesting. The Knicks are now favored in the series, according to ESPN Bet. Barely, but they're favored. So a lot of money has come in on the Knicks. Sure. So they are favored. And Don, we go all the way back to October 10th of last year, and you predicted Hurricanes over the Stars for the Stanley Cup. So that could still happen.
That still could happen, yes. Now the question
is,
well, like,
that impressive.
What's that?
So that wasn't that impressive.
Well, we'll see.
Guessing playoff teams in the NHL is like, I mean, what would you compare it to?
Wait, no, like this was a Stanley Cup team.
My Cup final in October was Dallas-Carolina. Now, listen, they could get both bounced in the first round, but Dallas is the one seed in the West going into the postseason, and Carolina is the second-best team, even though they finished not as the two seed in the East. They're right there behind the Rangers for the best team in the Eastern Conference, so we'll see. It looks like I'm locked down 3-4 in Washington, Michael.
What do you mean you're locked down?
To do the games.
For games?
Oh, yeah, great.
For games, so.
Oh, awesome.
Now that's exciting.
Baby. Are you kidding me? Love it.
As Peter Rosenberg would say.
I like Washington. And Washington's fun. Good crowd. Nice.
Well,
you want to have dinner with my parents?
Yeah, why don't you go and have dinner at Chevy Chase?
How far would that be from downtown? Because I don't want to give away the hotel. But how far is that from downtown D.C.?
If you were going to go, from downtown D.C., 20 minutes?
Nothing for you. Nothing. All right, I've got
you could meet at my famous childhood deli, the Parkway Deli, quite easily, Don. You get there in a cab.
What, they can't bring him into their home? If he's not going to go into their home, what does he have to meet him for?
My that's a lot to ask my mom.
Have him enter your front door?
No.
Maybe you could bring some of that chicken that you like, Royal Farms chicken.
Or some Lido's pizza.
Hey, it's time for the Pinstripe Report, guys. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. This is from Brian Hoke, covers Yankees on MLB. DJ LeMahieu said that an MRI taken last night showed a lack of healing, and doctors were not comfortable with him beginning a rehab assignment. He's frustrated, and he hoped to be playing in 3 to 4 days, so that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Also, another injury for the Yankees, they placed right-handed pitcher Nick Birdie, who's pitched very well, on the 15-day injured list, retroactive to April 17th, with right hip inflammation. They recalled right-handed pitcher Cody Morris from Scranton, and they added outfielder Taylor Trammell to the roster. So a lot of moves there for a team that's tied for the best record in baseball. That is the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Let's take some phone calls. Let's do it. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey to start it off. Mike 8.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
You?
Good. So I have not a complaint, but I'm not saying the Sixers are going to be easy. I'm not saying that they're not a force to be reckoned with. But you guys, I kind of seems like you guys are being a little negative. And let me just explain.
We just picked them to win the series, brother.
No, Let me explain.
You guys are crazy. Go ahead.
Michael kept talking about the record with Embiid, right? 32-8. Well, the record when OG and Brunson play with each other, they're 20-3. The whole season, even a month ago, we were worried about this team going into the play-in, maybe playing the 5 seed, the 4 seed, playing the Celtics. They finished the 2nd seed and won 50 games. So I'm not saying, and then dating back to the play-in, who did the Knicks want to play? Should they lose and play the Pacers? Do they want to play the Heat or Sixers? The Sixers have to play us, too. We're not ducking from anybody. I'm not over here saying, I'm cocky and we're going to sweep and win in 5 games.
But they have
to play us, too. And I'm confident. I should be confident in this team. They've done nothing but face adversity the whole season. And the Sixers are chirping. Their players have been chirping the whole time these past couple of days. Let them chirp. I'm ready for them. They have to come to the Garden 4 times, baby. Let's go.
I agree with everything you're saying, but here's my question. Does it still make you a little bit nervous to hear a Dave Rothenberg just pick the Knicks in 5 as if the Sixers are just a whatever 7 seed?
I would say this. I'm saying Knicks in 6. That's my prediction. But seeing Embiid the other night, he does not look healthy, guys. He just doesn't.
Well, he's questionable. He's questionable for tomorrow. So
listen, I'm not telling you not to be confident, not to have fun. I just you jump us for being negative, and Michael and I have the same pick that you had.
I understand that. But
Listen, I'm not telling you to be scared of anybody, but come on, you'd rather be playing the Magic of the Pacers right now than the Sixers.
But Don, the Magic won possible. The Pacers won possible. Our job is to finish the best seed possible, and we did.
I give you credit for that. I would not want them to tank. I love this, Nick. I love the way they went about it. I love the fact that they beat the Bulls and they took the 2 seed. But we're just saying it's the same thing, you know, with the Rangers. I didn't want them to have to play Tampa because that would not that they couldn't beat Tampa, but why do you want to go through 6 games? Wouldn't you want to just wipe the floor? I think they'd wipe the floor with the Magic if they played them. And that's 2-3 games less than maybe you'd have to play, you know, down the road in a big series. But the fact that we bring that up doesn't mean we're being negative. We picked them in the same amount of games that you picked them at. I just get sensitive, Michael, because they think that, like, we're North Dakota, that it's supposed to be, you know, for the next week it's going to be Knicks pregame and we're waving pom-poms and we're going to sweep them in 4. Hey, if I thought that, then I'd say it. But to get jumped for being negative when I predicted the same amount of games as the caller did.
Now I know what the caller just said about, you know, they're 20-3 with Brunson and Ananobi. But an 800 winning percentage with Embiid is nothing to sneeze at. So all we're saying is this is not your typical 7th seed. The guy missed half the year. If he was healthy, he's the reigning MVP. Now, everybody's saying he didn't look good in the game against the Heat. He looked good in the 4th quarter. He looked good in the 4th quarter. And they didn't lose down the stretch with him since he's come back. He's been great. And Peter just said exactly what's the truth. That he's questionable for tomorrow. Okay, I'll play along. He's going to play. There's not a chance he doesn't play.
I wouldn't doubt that. And I think... And to play the game of fan, Michael, if I'm a fan of the Knicks, disrespect me all you want. I'd rather that than everybody thinking that I'm going to win easily. Go in, fly under the radar. Use that fuel that nobody believes in us. That stuff seems to work in sports inside a room. So if the Knicks feeling like they're being disrespected, by all means, do feel that way. It'll probably help you.
Do you think that Tibbs feels, I mean, just totally sure he's going to win the series? Of course, he's probably spending 23 hours a day looking at how to stop Embiid. And you heard what Hartenstein said yesterday? We are expecting MVP Joel.
No,
and if he's MVP Joel, they've got their hands full.
And also, too, guys, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure he's a diehard Knick fan reading everything. The only Sixer I heard chirp was Paul Reed.
Right.
Did anybody else chirp?
No.
So
just Paul Reed.
But listen, that's why I love this fan base, Peter, because they are more positive than I think any other fan base in New York. Can you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
I mean, they believe in their team, and I love it. But let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, for me, it's not even about doubting that they're going to win. It's more giving them the room to give them credit when they do win. This is not an easy series. It's just not a gimme. So can they get it? Absolutely. They should go get it. They've been a great team, and over the course of the year, they've been the better team. And as the caller pointed out, when OG and Brunson are together, they've been basically unstoppable. But let's just give credit where it's due. This is not the same as catching the Bulls out of the play-in. This is the Sixers with Embiid are a different beast.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. All right, we'll come back with your phone calls in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you that you know that my home is my happy place, and that happy place needed a little bit of a refresh. That's why I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters to give it a facelift. They've exceeded my expectations with great workmanship and communication. I received daily updates on the progress of the job, and when they finished, they made sure that I was happy. They didn't just pack up and go. They wanted to make sure I was completely satisfied before they considered the job completed. They take pride in what they do, like artists and Serta Pro Painters, you could trust them to get the job done right. I couldn't be more satisfied with Serta Pro Painters. The whole process has been stress-free. Now is the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Schedule your free estimate today at CertaPro.com. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters. While springing the savings at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle with special offers on over 500 new and many low-mileage certified pre-owned vehicles. They also have a $7,500 lease rebate on Mercedes-Benz EVs and hybrids. If you're looking to upgrade to the latest model or explore new features and technologies, now's the time to consider your options. Ask about additional American Express cardholder benefits. Visit them at mbnewrochelle.com or in person and tell them, please tell them that Michael K. sent you. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd. It's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please, Zing Zang, responsibly. Well, the Knicks are playing the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes.
And a guy who we love, and he loves us, but he doesn't love Don as much as Don loves him, is Andrew Gunling, tried and true Philadelphia. And we have him joining us right now to break
Very
down
nice.
The series.
What?
Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you feeling about this?
Well, it's a Sixers series in the playoffs, so it's impossible to feel good. But excited. And also, I should say, really excited that Sixers-Knicks feels like it's a playoff series that should happen more often. I don't think it's happened since 88 or 89, and I feel like this is right. Like, I feel like these teams should be playing in the postseason more often. It's a fun rivalry, and it's a shame that we haven't seen it more at this stage.
Yeah, 1989, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, the Knicks have been terrible for a long time.
Yeah, the Knicks had a hand in that, certainly. But the Sixers had the process years and the pre-Iverson years, so they can never be good at the same time. It's a little bit of like Mets-Philly in that way, as far as the rivalries go.
So do you believe that Embiid is close to 100%?
Not really. I thought that this could be perfect for them. Like, the injury that he suffered mid-season, you know, this could maybe serve as him kind of getting a rest in the middle of the year, as opposed to what's been the case in the past for him, where he's just worn out and gets hurt again in the postseason. I kind of thought, okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
see, that's an indication
He boomed on us?
Knicks down five.
You take a Knicks in five now?
Knicks in five?
That's a bad omen.
No, because I've had it.
It's a bad omen.
It's not what you want.
We still have a conversation with Andrew Drop. Yeah, Andrew, anything else you want to say to us in drops, at least?
I will fight you after this show.
Wow.
All right. Fair enough. But why?
You think, he's been out of work a while. That they probably just stopped his service there?
Oh, my God.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, hey there.
You know what the problem was? There was just too much reality in that statement. It's not right.
Yeah.
He's back now, so he's got it back.
I hope
Andrew, as you said,
Andrew suggested you... And Michael suggested you haven't been able to pay your phone bills. What say you?
Well, I can do that, but I have no landline. Do people have landlines anymore?
I proudly have one.
Very proud.
I'm sorry. This is all I can do. Do I think Embiid is healthy? I think is the last thing he said. No, I don't. Yeah. I thought maybe he would be. And then the injury at the end of the regular season was kind of a brutal blow right before the playoffs. And then the Heat game the other night was going to be the test to see, okay, is he or isn't he? And, man, that I know he was great in the fourth quarter, and that was really cool. But that version of Embiid looked an awful lot like previous postseason versions of Embiid where he's not healthy. And that scares me because they're only going to go as far as he will allow them to go.
Yeah, I've had this theory on why the Knicks are not as appreciated outside of New York as they should be, and I thought maybe it's because they're the one team that goes all out every night, the one team that actually honors the regular season, where a lot of teams have load management and don't pay as close attention to the regular season as the Knicks do. As somebody on the outside looking in, do you agree with that, or do you think the Knicks are legitimately the second-best team in the conference?
Well, the second best team in the conference is tough to say. They're legitimate. And by the way, I should tell you that, like, among my group of friends and, other people in Philadelphia whose opinions I respect, the Knicks are, like, no one is looking past this series in Philadelphia. Everyone is like, this is going to be a war. This feels like six or seven games. Feels kind of like a toss-up. So, the idea that the Knicks... I know you didn't use these words, but, like, they're definitely respected outside of New York. At least that's been my experience with them. As far as why, if it's because they go all out every night, I don't know. They're the fact that Julius Randle is hurt. I know there are some people in New York that think they're better off without him, but their ceiling is probably lower. Like, in the playoffs, when teams can scheme over the course of seven games to try to limit Brunson, it helps to have another guy who can maybe score 30. So I think, that could have something to do with it, that there's not another player of that level. But I don't know. I kind of disagree with your premise a little bit, that maybe there's a lack of respect for them outside of New York, because everyone I know takes them seriously.
Well, but the reason I say that is because they were actually a dog in this series.
They were initially, but that changed, right? I think I saw, like, the odds.
Yeah, the Knicks have creeped. The Knicks have moved ahead.
And by the way, that's a compliment to the Knicks. The Sixers are 32-8 with Embiid in the lineup this year. Like, there's a good chance if Embiid had a normal season, the Sixers would be the 2 seed. So I think the fact that Embiid is back, now there's questions about his health, but he's playing. So the fact that they're actually even with the team that was 32-8 over 40 games with Embiid in the lineup, I think that actually kind of does show that there's some respect for the Knicks.
All right, make a pick.
I feel like such a loser doing this. But my friends and I, we had the group text going earlier today, and we were making our picks. And I said, I think it's the Knicks. The Embiid thing just scares me. Like I said, the version that I saw of him the other night, it just looks like other postseasons of Embiid not being himself. And Tom Thibodeau is such a great defensive coach that even under the best of circumstances, I'd worry about what he could scheme against Embiid over a seven-game series. And these don't feel like the best of circumstances. I think Embiid is like 65 to 75% healthy. I don't like that. I think Knicks in seven.
Now, these friends that you're texting with, are those the guys that you spooned with when you guys went on the road trip?
Yep, the very same. That's right.
Now, can we finally put to bed, speaking of spooning, put to bed this one thing? Don thinks he loves you and it's unrequited love, and he doesn't care. He doesn't think you like him at all.
I don't know why he thinks that.
I never said that. I don't understand. I said it doesn't matter. I hope you care for me, but whenever Michael brings that up, I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to love you the same. I appreciate that you care about me. I never doubted it. I'm just saying that if you don't, I'm not going to change how I feel about you.
No, yeah. You've created this narrative over years. I don't know why. I don't know what it spawned from, other than me yelling at you that one day after the Eagles tanked against Washington.
We have that.
Can we hear that, Peter?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Sounds
don't
like,
scream
don't
at me
defend
on the show.
Him.
Sounds like hate to me.
Well, you know.
I hated that day. Of all the days that I worked there, that was one of my least favorite. I went home. I felt terrible. I hated that whole day.
Well, of course, things weren't made better, Andrew, when they found out that me and you went out to dinner and Michael and Don weren't there.
Yeah, we need to get to the bottom. We weren't even asked, Andrew. We weren't even asked.
Peter, how did that happen?
I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there.
It's on Peter. It's not on you. That's why I don't have hold of any ill will toward you. I hold it toward Peter, and I continue to hold it toward
Andrew,
him.
Can you try to help me out here? We had dinner plans on a day when neither Michael nor Don were in the city, and they acted as if it still sort of required an invite. And to me, knowing them, without their intimidation, you know as well as I do, Andrew, while, yes, I should have asked for the sake of asking, the prospect of them coming in is a ludicrous idea.
Don, do I live in Texas that I wouldn't drive into Manhattan?
Let Andrew answer.
So, first of all, I can't ignore the intimidation factor. I mean, that is part of it. I mean, look, like, I get what you're saying, Peter, but I think that there is something to them just wanting to be able to decide for themselves.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
I know.
So, you know, that's maybe they would have chosen a different day to work from home that day. Maybe they would have said, okay, we'll plan around this. I don't know that that's true. That might be giving all of us too much credit for this dinner. But yeah.
I would drive in for you, Andrew.
But I think, is it on the table? Everything Peter said is correct on why he probably didn't send the invite, but I'm just wondering deep down inside, was Peter like, I really don't want them here?
Right.
At no point was that was never communicated at any point that anyone felt that way.
Now, all right, but was this communicated? Did you send an invite to Don and Michael? Was that ever communicated?
No, I don't know that it was.
Interesting.
I don't know that it was.
Look, Michael, it's all just evidence, right? I'm not ready to come to any conclusions, but
we're
evidence. Compiling
Let the
evidence.
Jury decide.
Yeah, we're compiling evidence, and it doesn't look good, guys.
Andrew, I hope you enjoy the Sixers-Knicks series.
He won't. He won't enjoy
Thank
a second
you.
Of it.
You won't enjoy a second, will
no,
you?
No, because he's a fan, so he's going to be nervous. And
are you going to go to any games?
At this point, no. Wasn't planning on it.
Well, you probably
if you were still producing the show, you would have gotten a press pass.
Yeah, that's true. Although that is not, when you're, I don't know. Is that a fun way to watch a playoff game? I'm not sure. Kind of rather just be at home or with my friends or, I don't know.
Sound like Aaron Boone.
Not sure.
That's exactly what Aaron Boone said.
Aaron Boone said he would not be able to be in control. He has to be home.
Yeah.
He might, get him on your text thread because he's a big Sixer fan.
Yeah, we tried that once with the Eagles. He was really dismissive of that. Yeah, he didn't seem like he really wanted any part of it.
Interesting. Andrew, love talking to you. Hope you're doing well.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Love the great
you
Andrew Gunling, our former producer here on TMKS.
Oh, yeah.
Peter, why don't you tell us about FanDuel?
Don't tell me what to do.
Do it.
Guys, FanDuel, all right? You want to play the play-in tournament tonight where you can get a chance to play your way into $150 as teams try to play their way into the postseason? It's that easy. That's right, $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. Win or lose. To use during the NBA playoffs, all right? You can bet on three-pointers made in the Kings-Pels game tonight, over-under point totals in Bulls Heat, first basket score, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Peter to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.